Bread of Life discourse in John as we consider Jesus' words today, I am the bread of life. And so we start in the first reading with the children of Israel. They've left Egypt. God has worked mighty wonders, and they're in the wilderness, and suddenly they realize they're getting hungry. And for the first time in the recollection of the children of Israel leaving Egypt, remember, they prayed for 400 years. I wonder if we've ever prayed for something for 400 years. 400 years they prayed to be delivered from Egypt. They cried out to God, and God heard them and brought them Moses, gave them signs and wonders, and delivered them out of Egypt. And now they're in the wilderness, and they're not thinking about what God has done for them before. They're thinking that they're hungry. And it says they grumbled. Now, God has done all these amazing things. Why are they grumbling? Because they live in the immediate moment. They've forgotten the works that God has done, and so they are failing to trust in God. How many times do we start to grumble when things don't go our way, when the world looks dark, or something weird's happening in the church, or something weird's happening at work, and it's not fair, and no one can get on the same page about anything, from politics to the pandemic? We start to grumble. We all do it. And why? For a moment, we're failing to be thankful for what God has done for us, and we're failing to trust in God. It's hard. But here's the good news. God is so good. Now, he does give them a test, and the test is going to come in the manna. But it says in the scripture that God hears their grumbling, and he responds in love. He knows that they are hungry, and he is going to feed them, and he brings them quail into the camp. Lots of birds. They're not vegetarians here. Birds every night. Maybe quail eggs too. I just saw that for the first time this week. I don't know. But then they get something miraculous. Manna. We don't know exactly what it was. Some scholars have speculated this or that. It's like a hoarfrost on the ground. And for 40 years in the morning, there'll be this bread-like sweet hoarfrost that'll be nourishing. And they're told to go and collect it. But God tests them. He says, don't get more than what you need, because if you do, it will be infected by worms, except before the Sabbath, get double portion, so you'll have enough to eat on the Sabbath. Now, the meaning of manna actually means, it doesn't mean bread from heaven. It actually means, what is that? Manna, what is that? And so I know that when I was growing up as a kid, I thought I'd be real smart, because my sister and I, my mom's a great cook, and we used to grumble about certain meals that she would put together. Stop complaining. You should be glad you have food to eat, and there's people that are hungry. And she's right. So when I found out that manna means, what is that? I used to say things like, well, it looks like we're having manna tonight. So one student said, yeah, there's a manna bar that's going to be available in the dining hall every night of the week, upcoming year. So you have something to look forward to. Now, eventually my mom got wise to my little ploy, and then she got even madder, but I'll end the story there. What is that? And I think that's a good holy question that we can contemplate when it comes to what happens here. The bread of life. What is that? And so how can we have a new and deeper appreciation for the bread of life? Next year, we're going to begin a set of 3 years in the church in the United States to consider the Holy Eucharist. We're going to, in essence, ask the question for 3 years, what is that? Now, are we going to understand that if we don't let our hearts move? If we're not willing to make some change in the way we live? Because St. Paul tells us this, you can no longer live like Gentiles. And there's so many people who claim to have faith that live like the world is more important than God. I see it all the time. And we're all tempted that way. I'm tempted that way. I mean, there's oftentimes that a certain sports team may be playing, and I don't want to go celebrate Mass. It's a temptation. Oh, Father, I can't believe that. Well, it's true. There might be something else that takes you away from worship of God, but more importantly, that takes us away from the bread of life, because we fail to contemplate, what is this? And St. Paul says, leave it behind. You should not look like everyone else. You should look different. And your old desires die and put on the new self. And so we pray that maybe in this year, maybe in this week, maybe even tonight, we can move closer to the bread of life and a deeper appreciation. So we get to the gospel. And people are actually, he's fed the 5,000 last week, and Jesus goes across the sea, and people are starting to chase him. And they're like, oh, Jesus, oh, so wonderful, Rabbi, we give you the title. Where did you go? We're trying to follow you. And he says, give me a break. You're not even following me because I work miracles. There's some that are. I do signs. You're not even following me from that. You're following me for a free meal. You had your bellies filled across the sea. I fed all of you. And now you just want another one. Where's the next free meal coming from? And this is indicative of sometimes how we treat God. God should give us whatever we think is right. Why does God let this happen? God, you need to do this. God, you need to do that. We're just chasing God for our next spiritual free meal. And Jesus says, this is not the attitude you need to have. And so they hear what he says, and they say, okay, if you're sent from God, then what sign can you give us? All right, we won't play the free meal game, but what sign? Because if we were going to be in the chapel tonight, and I told you there was going to be, miracle manna that rains from the ceiling, and some sort of miracle on the altar, or there'd be some amazing healing, or some apparition, we'd have this place packed out. Because people would come not for this, they would come for the signs. And that's why people were chasing after Jesus. How often in your life, do you chase after signs instead of after God? We should worship God because he is God alone. God has already given us so many signs in our life. The children of Israel forgot them and they grumbled. And how often do we forget what God has done for us? The people in the gospel, have they not seen the miracles Jesus has already worked, but they want another sign? And Jesus says this, here's the sign. Believe. Believe in me. And the sign I'll give you is this. The true bread from heaven. Manna was not the bread from heaven. It was a miracle. But the true bread from heaven. Heavenly bread. Bread that actually exists in heaven and comes to earth is me. I am from heaven. I am the bread of life. Jesus is present. Jesus, the bread of life, feeds us. Do we appreciate that? Or do we fall into the same trap of grumble, grumble, grumble? Oh, here we go. Or maybe there'll be a sign. Or that was a really good homily. Or I really love the music. This is why we're here. This is what we have to recognize. The people in the gospel today, for the most part, didn't recognize the sign. Let us pray for the grace that we will. Now, in the midst of all that, we live in the world, we work in the world, we enjoy some things in the world. We enjoy God's creation in the summertime, if it's not too smoky. And thank goodness for the rain and the cool temperatures even now. But these are all gifts from God. We also live in a world that's full of uncertainty. Full of darkness, full of things to really be afraid of, full of things we don't know where we're headed, full of things that are tragic, filled with sickness and death. I was reminded of that this week. I was looking at something on my iPad. You know how sometimes those pictures pop up from the past, you know, your trip from 2015 or whatever. Well, a picture popped up. It's from a trip I took in June of 2019. And it was to Virginia, and it was great. I got to connect with a couple friends I keep up with there. But I also got to reconnect with someone I had gone to graduate school with. And we had lunch, and it was great. He's married, has 6 kids. He's not Catholic, but he's a real man of faith. And he just sat me down and he said, "I think what you're doing, Bart, is so cool. To be a priest, it must be really hard. I just really admire that. Talk to me about what the Lord is doing with your priesthood. I want to know." And we had a great conversation. And he said, "Hey, let's go see a movie while you're here." And I said, "All right, hey, why don't we go see a movie?" And that was the time that the movie called Tag was out. Now, I'm not recommending that movie, by the way, but it was based on one of our own priests, Father Sean Raftus, and this group of guys he had in elementary school he went to school with, and they played tag in the month of February. And it's a great story. Hollywood destroyed the movie because they turned Father Raftus into a pot-smoking real estate agent. So only Hollywood could do that. Thanks. Beware of Hollywood. There's probably more coming out of Hollywood. Beware. Anyway, we saw the movie, and at the end, it did have some documentary footage of Father Raftus and his friends, and Kent was just like, "That's really cool." He goes, "You know, I think we as not Catholics think our priests are just weird, and they're over on the sideline." And he goes, "That guy is a real guy, and you are too." "Yeah, we are. I know it's hard to believe sometimes, but we are." He goes, "That's great. I'm so glad we had this time to connect, and I'm just excited. I look forward to seeing you again." So 2 years ago tomorrow, August 2nd, I get a phone call from another friend who lives in Virginia and said, "I've got some bad news. Your Kent and his wife and 6 children, oldest kid was getting ready to graduate from high school, had gone on vacation in Michigan. And Kent had sent his wife and kids along. They were going to go see a movie in the heat of the day. Had sent his wife and kids along to the movie theater, and he hopped in the car with his brother, his sister-in-law, and their daughter. And on the way to the movie theater, a few miles away, someone had drunk driver, ran a stop sign, T-boned him, killed all 4 of them. You know, and just, it happens. I hear about it happening so much, and it happens to all of us sometimes. It's tragedy. And your first reaction is, "My goodness, I just reconnected this guy. Why? He's got 6 kids. Why? He's leaving a wife. Why? What did he do wrong? Why, God? You gave no sign." And then as I thought, his picture's coming up just right on the edge of his anniversary of death. And God's saying, "That's the sign. Because have you prayed? Have you prayed, Father Bart, for your friend? I've prayed a little bit. Have you encouraged others who are sharing that loss even 2 years later? Probably not enough. Have you tried to imitate the virtues that I demonstrated in your friend that week you were able to reconnect? Not nearly well enough. Have you encouraged other families that have children, other families that have lost children or parents, other people who are suffering? Not well enough. Let me give you the sign, the bread of life. Because the bread of life is the risen Jesus. The whole reason we follow Jesus is because he brings us eternal life, not when we die, but then here and now, and it makes all the difference in the world. And so when I celebrate Mass, I have hope. My friend, he's gone from this world, but he's not gone. He will rise again. Do I believe that? And do I live like that? And does it make a difference? And when I approach the bread of life, do I approach it with an open heart and an open mind to really recognize the sign of Jesus Christ risen in the bread of life? He appears as bread partly because he wants us to consume him as the bread of life, and partly because he wants to increase our faith. And so whatever suffering, whatever tragedy, whatever uncertainty we're dealing with, this is the answer. and saying yes to Jesus in a new way is the answer. There are so many crazy things happening right now in the world, if you haven't checked lately, and they're not giving us any answers. It's just arguing and wars and battles and sadness. This is the answer. I am the bread of life. I am the risen Lord. I bring you meaning to your life. I give you hope, but you cannot live the same way. We cannot just receive the Lord and go on and be the same thing. He has to change us. He has to make us better disciples. As St. Paul says, we have to be new people. So tonight, if you're going to come forward and receive the risen bread of life, I encourage you, receive it in a new way. Open your heart, open your mind, open your eyes. Pour out your sufferings and your fears to Jesus, but hear his words. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the only hope. I've come to save you. I love you, and I will be with you always to the end and in eternity. Today is the feast of St. Alphonsus Liguori, and St. Alphonsus gives us one little small recommendation that if you're not already doing this, maybe this is a way you could change something, and it's not that hard. You can certainly do it here at Carroll College. He says, once a week, spend a quarter of an hour with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament outside of Mass and recognize the bread of life, recognize his presence. He says, if you'll do that faithfully, that time with the Lord will be the most fruitful time in your life. It will prepare you for other trials and challenges, tragedies and sufferings and uncertainties. It will bear fruit in your life. He also says this, that it will comfort you when you die. Now, not just at the hour of our death as we pray the Hail Mary. We're dying. My grandmother used to say we're dying a little bit every day. That's true. And every time there's a tragedy and you lose a friend or a loved one, you die a little bit. I've died a little bit a lot in the last 5 years. And I've died a little bit more this week. But you know what? He comforts me. Because he's risen from the grave, and he's with me, and he's present. And then finally, St. Alphonsus says, he comforts you when you die, and you live in heaven now. In other words, he's with you for all eternity. We can have that peace and that surety of eternal life and the here and now. But we have to change what we're doing. So we'll pray that St. Alphonsus, on this his feast day, will pray for us, and we pray that we can approach the Eucharist, the bread of life, with new hearts and new eyes and a new will to receive him worthily and well.